If you have your Bibles with you this evening, may I ask you to turn, please, to Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, and we're just going to read the first verse of Luke chapter 18 and consider some matters from this verse this evening. Luke chapter 18, please, and it's the verse 1. And he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for the word of God. We bless thee, Father, this evening that thy word is truth. And so we ask, as we consider the things that are before us tonight, we ask that you would give us a listening ear and an understanding heart and an obedient will as we would hear the truth of the word of God in our hearing this evening. Tabernacle yourself with us in this house this night, and grant, Lord, that we will meet with thee and do business with God this very night for Christ's sake and for God's eternal glory. Amen. In Luke chapter 18, the Lord Jesus Christ will go on to give two parables illustrating the great need for prayer. The parable of the importunate widow and the prayers of the Pharisee and the publican. You will often hear among the announcements given here on a Sunday an announcement for the men's prayer meeting held here each Friday evening at 9 o'clock. And so when Dr. Brown asked if I would bring a word tonight regarding the men's prayer meeting, my mind was immediately drawn to this first verse in Luke chapter 18, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In so doing, I would like to take the word ought as an acrostic to give you all, both men and women this evening, an insight into the men's prayer time each Friday evening. And so you will already have worked out that there will be 5 points to what I believe the Lord would have me to say this evening. Firstly, the object or the objective of our prayers. Secondly, the urgency of our prayers. Thirdly, the ground upon which we stand when we pray. Fourthly, the help sought in prayer. And lastly, the time spent in prayer. Firstly, the object of our prayers, or the objectives of our prayers. We often hear it said in prayer that as our faces differ, so also do our needs. So as a band of blood-bought believing men, we meet for prayer to spread the needs of this church, this membership, this congregation, this work, in this place, before Almighty God. Further afield, we need to make intercession for the unsaved and the spiritually lost of our nation, our province, our city, the streets in which we live, our homes, our families, our friends, and our neighbours. As we meet for prayer, we not only need to intercede for the needs of others, but we need to supplicate the throne of grace for ourselves as individuals, interceding for others and supplicating for ourselves. The very fact that you have gathered here in this prayer meeting tonight bears eloquent testimony that each one of you are acknowledging that you have needs that need to be met, and that the place of prayer is where you ought to be, and where you will find the grace to help in your time of need. Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 19, very well known verse, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You cannot be a member of this church and not be aware that you have friends and acquaintances in this place that are carrying burdens, heavy burdens. Collectively among us, the needs are many. Often our needs may be such that we cannot talk with others about them. Many of our needs perhaps are so deep that only our nearest and our dearest are able to share in the agony and the tears of that trial as you join in prayer at the throne of grace for mercy. We have the needs of broken hearts as a matter of broken homes as a matter of prayer. We have the needs of broken hearts as a matter of prayer. And we have the needs of broken health as a matter of prayer, all represented in this gathering tonight. Our burdens, our trials, our troubles and our tribulations are often so heavy that they might well be summed up in the words of this gospel song. Got any rivers that you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what none other can do. Remember, in the scriptures, the father of the demonic son in Mark chapter 9, and in answer to the question that Christ asked, how long ago since this came unto him? In verse 21, the father answers, of a child, since he was a babe. What a burden that father had been carrying for many a long year. And the prayer from the depths of this father's heart was, oft times he hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And so with hot tears flowing down his cheeks, the father cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And it is within this narrative that we read this verse regarding prayer, that this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Oh, that we, indeed, oh, that I would have such a spirit of prayer in these days of great need. Now, before I go any further, and this fact is not only a part of paramount importance, it needs to be paramount in our prayers and in our prayer and in our praying. The object and focus of our prayers each Friday night, and indeed each time we all enter the closet to pray and seek God's face, is not only to bring our needs before God at the throne of heavenly grace, but the aim, the focus, and the driving force in all of our prayers and in all of our praying at home and in the public place must be to and for the glory of God alone. Souls to be saved for the glory of God. Homes and families to be touched for the glory of God. Hearts to be made whole for the glory of God. Bodies to be healed. When Christ was told, "He whom thou lovest, Lazarus, is sick." In John chapter 11, Christ's reply was, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." In John chapter 14, we read these words, "And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." Secondly, the urgency of our prayers. When I was thinking of this point, my mind was drawn to the last time I spoke with you in a prayer meeting. And on that occasion, we thought of the person of Jonah. We thought of the shipmaster who needed an answer. We thought of the sleeping messenger who needed awakened. And we thought of the sea mariners who needed assurance. The question to Jonah from the lips of the shipmaster on that stormy, stormy night, and the tone in which it was asked, would point us to the great urgency, the overwhelming urgency for the need of prayer. The shipmaster probably shook Jonah in his sleep and asked, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call on thy God, if so be that God will think on us, that we perish not." And today, men and women, boys and girls are perishing and heading to a Christless hell. Tune your spiritual ear to listen carefully, and to listen ever so carefully. And can we not hear the urgency in their voice as they would ask the very same question? "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." There's an urgency needed in prayer. Your loved ones and my loved ones are standing on the precipice of hell. This generation is speeding towards the caverns of the damned faster than a speeding bullet. Sin and wickedness abound in every hand. Can I not see? Can we not see the urgency for prayer? Thirdly, the ground upon which we pray. The prayers that you and I offer, our intercessions and our supplications, are only able to be made and are only acceptable to the Almighty God of heaven as we stand only upon redemption ground. Through no strength of our own, through no merits of our own, through no righteousness of our own. We may enter this building tonight for the prayer meeting. We may enter into the closet at home. We may enter into the secret place in the attitude of prayer, but we must and can only enter into the presence of Almighty God upon the finished work of Christ, upon redemption ground. Hebrews chapter 10. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Are each of us not told, indeed commanded in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 16, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Just one of my favorite hymns in our book is the hymn number 263, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" Verse 5 says, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own." James chapter 5 and the verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed." It's only the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that will avail much. And it's only the righteousness of Christ in your heart and in mine that will help us to make such a prayer. Fourthly, the help needed in prayer. We seek for help through prayer, and often we need to seek for help to pray. How often do we enter the place of prayer, and how often do we set our hearts to seek God, and we find ourselves in the territory of Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." We've all been here, "for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You and I, we often ask amiss. But Christ, he maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hears us, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." Lastly, the time spent in prayer. Well, we meet at 9 p.m. each Friday night. We may be few in number, perhaps just 6 or 8 of us. It matters not. We meet for prayer, knowing that prayer time is not wasted time, and claiming the mighty promise spoken of in Isaiah chapter 40 and the last few verses, "He giveth power to the faint." Now, how often do we feel like that? "And to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The psalmist David heard the command given to him of the Lord, "Seek ye my face." And David's ready response was, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." The prophet Hosea would have us to know that we are to break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. The Apostle Paul, with hints of the words spoken by the shipmaster in Jonah's day, would warn us that knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Romans 13 and verse 11. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Men and women, it is our Christian duty. We ought always to pray and not to faint. The object or the objective of our prayers, the urgency of our prayers, the ground upon which we stand as we pray, the help needed to pray, and prayer in prayer, and the time for and spent in prayer. May the Lord bless these few remarks to all of our hearts and make us the men and women of prayer that we ought to be. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Peter for that word, and that was most encouraging and instructive as well. Thank you very much. We're coming now to the points for prayer for tonight, and we're thinking about the youth fellowship that normally will convene on a Friday night, and youth rallies as well. We need wisdom, we need help as to when to reconvene all of this. We have penciled one in that is a youth rally for October, and we know that the young people will be only too glad to get an opportunity to meet again, though of course the challenges of social distancing and everything else given where we are. All of that, of course, is always under constant review. Youth fellowship and youth rallies, therefore. Presbytery will meet on a Friday night. That's usually the first Friday in any given month, apart from July and August. And do pray for Presbytery as it moves forward. Pray for an opening for Reverend Thomas Laverty. And I know you enjoyed his ministry and visitation when he was with us in a good part of the month of August. But he is, as you know, waiting an opportunity to get out to Florida and act upon the call that he has accepted from Florida. I'd be more than happy that plane never left here, of course, that he just stayed this side. But may the Lord's will be done on that one. For the ill, for the aged, and for the infirm of the congregation, let's pray for them, because there are so many. And I know that even some here tonight, you are going through illness as well. And thank you for coming. Indeed, thank everyone for coming right through this week. It has been very well supported, and I'm much encouraged. And then the one that's remained constant pretty much on each night that we've met, the revival of the church and the salvation of the lost. As many as possible do take part in prayer, and I'm going to ask our brother, Reverend William Beattie, if he will commence our prayer season tonight. Thank you.